In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last week and a half, as you all know, but I'm just going to remind you, last week and a half we've seen again a number of series of these terrorist incidents. So two Saturdays ago was the one here in America at a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. They're protesting, taking down these Confederate statues, as you know, has all been in the news this week. And a lot of hatred on both sides, some violence already, but then at the end of it, one of the white supremacists, a racist, took his car and drove into this crowd of people, killed one, and injured a bunch of others. So that was a week ago Saturday. Then Thursday, if I'm getting all these days right, I think I have them right, but Thursday was in Spain, Barcelona, Spain. Another, now that of course was Islamic terrorists, took his van, drove it into a crowded street of people in Barcelona there, and killed 14 and injured over 100 others. And then I just happened to see that there was another one, a small one in Finland, again, suspecting that it was Islamic terror, but wielded a knife and killed a couple people and injured a number of others in Finland. And sadly, this is like becoming kind of commonplace for us. I mean, we're kind of used to hearing about these things. That's sad enough in itself. But what's also sad is immediately after these happen, there's this big thing always about giving it the right label. And so if you watch the news at all this week, you know that President Trump was under a lot of heat because he didn't give it the right label. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't care about that part. I'm just saying it's interesting that we always feel this need to give it the right label. So that should have been called domestic terrorism. And then, of course, with any of the stuff that comes from Muslims, it always needs to have the right label. It needs to be called Islamic terrorism. That's a big deal. So what I want to ask you is not whether that's right or wrong, but why this word, terrorism? What is so unique about the word terrorism? And I didn't even know. I had to look it up. I put it on the sermon outline there. It comes from a Latin word, and we see that word all over in our English language. Terrible, terrifying, terrific, terror, terrorism, all in that same root of something scary, something frightening. So with terrorism, you use something scary, you try to scare people, frighten them so that you can control them. That's terrorism. Well, in our gospel reading today, Jesus is on his way into Jerusalem. This is Palm Sunday, the week he's going to die. And he stops to cry. And I said this last year about this text, but I want to say it again because you probably don't remember. There's a number of different words for crying in Greek, and this one means you really are crying. Not just like you shed a tear. You are visibly crying and wailing and lamenting. So he stops to do this, and it seems, as you read through the gospel, it seems like it might be over terrorism, which I think is interesting, and I think is going to help you and I have a better understanding when all these incidents of terrorism are happening. So Jesus describes, right after he cries, he describes when the Romans are going to terrorize the city of Jerusalem. And if you know your history at all, this would be 37 years later. If Jesus died in the year 33 AD, which is, you know, a good estimate, that would be 37 years later when the Romans came in and terrorized Jerusalem, just obliterated it. And you can read about it. All you have to do is Google it and read about the destruction of Jerusalem. And you can, Josephus writes all about it. And he describes it in very great detail. Detail that makes us squirm quite a bit. The Roman general then was Titus. And he surrounded the city and with a bunch of different groups of his army. And they built this wall all around so that no food could get into the city of Jerusalem. So the people basically starved. And then, of course, when they were starving, they started to injure each other, and it was just this very gruesome scene. And eventually the Roman army came in and just leveled the place, as Jesus said, not one stone would be left upon another. So Jesus is talking about this terrorism that's going to happen, and he's crying. So it seems like we might think, oh, he's crying over this terrorism, this violence. But remember also this, that the terrorism wasn't only on the Roman side, sad to say. Why did the Romans come in and even destroy Jerusalem in the first place? It was because the Jews kept revolting. They did this a number of times. They got violent, bloody, murderous. And because of that, the Romans were just sick of their violence, so they came in and just leveled the city. All of them, understand, trying to control the other side with fear. So the Jews, on their side, revolting, trying to control the Romans by putting fear in them. On the other side, the Romans trying to control the Jews by coming in and destroying them, using fear to control them. There's a sad little tidbit about this that I read about this week, that the emperor of Rome at that time, after they had destroyed Jerusalem, he decided to make a building in memory of this great victory in Rome. So he built this big structure in Rome, and guess what he called it? The Temple of Peace. Isn't that odd, right? That's the way the world looks at terrorism. This is how we're going to bring about peace. We're going to terrorize everybody. And it's no different today, is it? Islam, the word Islam, which many of you are aware of, the word Islam in Arabic means peace. And so we always hear this. Well, of course, Islam is a religion of peace. Their name means peace. But if you read the Quran, how are they going to get peace? By terrorizing others who aren't Muslim. That's, you can read it all for yourself. It's in there. And of course, this whole racist incident in Virginia, that again, the same thing, trying to use fear and controlling others and being violent to make so-called peace, right? On the white supremacist side, they think they're going to make peace in our country, make a better country, if they terrorize and hate others. This is nonsensical, right? But this is the way we operate. So all of this is for me to lead up to and say, so is this what Jesus cries over? He sees all this terrorism and then he says, oh, I just can't stand it. And he cries. Well, no, not exactly. He does cry over sin and he cries that there's so much violence in our hearts, but there's something much more terrible, more terrible than terrorism that Jesus cries over. So I want to ask you some questions, get you thinking. What do you think is more terrible than driving vehicles into crowds of people? What could be worse than that? What's more terrible than hijacking planes and flying them into buildings and killing thousands of people? What could be more terrible than that? What could be more terrible than these mass shootings that we see all the time? People go in and just shoot random people. They don't even know them. What could be more terrible than that? What could be worse or more terrible than Rome going in and just starving the people of Jerusalem out and destroying their city? What could be more terrible than all of this? Well, there is something. There is something much more terrible, the worst terrorism that the world can ever know, and that is life without God in hell. That is the worst kind of terrorism. That is Satan's terrorism. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what Jesus cries over. He doesn't just cry because there's going to be a lot of violence. Yes, that bothers him. But he cries mostly because they refuse to receive the peace that he has come to bring. And instead, they decide that they want a life without God, which, by the way, is the definition of hell. It's the worst terrorism. Jesus came offering them peace, peace with God, peace with the forgiveness of their sins, peace of life eternal, and they rejected him and put him to death on a cross. And sadly, it's not that much different today. Many people do receive him, but there's a whole world of people that refuses to accept the peace that comes in Jesus Christ. So let me try to tie this all together for you. This is Palm Sunday, remember. Picture Jesus about to go into this city where in a few days he's going to suffer and die. And remember, he suffers a lot. He's beaten, He's mocked. He's got the crown of thorns. He has to carry his cross. He's got the nails in his hands and feet. He's hung to die. But as he goes about to suffer all of that, who does he cry for? Not for himself, but for the very people that are about to do it to him. I don't know how you can even comprehend how uncanny that love is that Jesus has. He's about to go in and be terrorized, and he cries for the people who are going to terrorize him. That's the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. And what you and I need to see, that the answer to all this terrorism that's going on and has always gone on in the world from the time of the Romans until the time of today, the answer to all that terrorism is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Because what we all realize as sinners is that hatred, that terrorism is rooted in the hearts of each and every one of us. And Jesus goes to the cross to die for it. He becomes the terrorist for us, right? As Scripture says, he became sin for us. So he becomes that. Now I know this is hard for us to think of, but it's true. Jesus became the guy who drove his car into that crowd of people in Virginia. Jesus became the guy in Barcelona, Spain, who took the van and killed 14 people and injured hundreds of others. Injured over 100 others, excuse me. Jesus becomes every one of us sinners. All of our terrorism, all of our hatred, he takes it all to the cross. Why? Why would he do all of that? To give us peace. Real peace. True peace. That's why he does it. That's why he cries for us, because he wants us to have peace. Would that you, he said, would that you had known on this day the things that make for peace. Remember, any time one of these terrorist incidents happen, the whole world is going to talk about how we need to fix it. Right? What's the answer? That everybody's got their solutions. How we can have real peace. None of them are going to work. Okay? We can definitely, as governments, try to do things to keep these things from happening. But we are not going to achieve true and real peace through any kind of government law or any kind of government action. True and real peace only comes in Jesus Christ. That is the answer to all terrorism. Where is peace to be found? Jesus says, would that you had known the things that make for peace. Well, the folks in Jerusalem missed it. They didn't realize that true peace was found in Jesus. We don't want to miss it. Where is true peace found for you and me? It's found in your baptism, that you are a child of God despite the terror and racism in all of our hearts. We are children of God, made new in Jesus Christ, our sins washed away, our hearts at peace with God. That's where real peace is found. It's found in the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives us the very body and blood that he shed on that day in Jerusalem for us. The place where we have peace, the place where our hatred and our racism, our terrorism is all forgiven, that's where peace is found. If you go back, just go back to the time when the Romans and the Jews were fighting there, and understand that the answer was never found in violence. What if, just consider what if for a minute, the Jews had not revolted against the Romans? What if they had believed in Jesus, received the forgiveness of their sins, had peace in their hearts, and not revolted? Would the Romans have come in and destroyed them? I mean, we don't know. It's all what ifs, but most likely no. And if you look throughout history, people try to mislead Christians about this. If you look throughout history, the place where peace is almost always found is where Christianity takes root. Now, I know they'll try to use the Crusades against us and this kind of stuff, but you have to go back and look at them in the context of what was going on. And of course, there are exceptions. There were violent Christians who weren't true Christians. But overall, if you look at history, where real peace is really found in nations is where Christianity held sway. And that's simply because when Christ is working in our hearts and creates peace through his word and through his forgiveness, it calms hearts. It puts us at peace with one another. It reminds us that all people are sinners, right? We don't have to blame everybody else for all our problems. We know the problems are all of ours. We're all sinners. but we're all people who are also redeemed by Jesus Christ. So as we're going to continue to hear about these incidents of terrorism, sadly, as you hear of it, be reminded where real peace is found. It's always going to be found in your Savior Jesus Christ, who has saved you from the ultimate terrorism, which is life without God, and instead given you peace with God, the forgiveness of all your sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.